Welcome to Lawless America. Good morning, Boston. Okay, my friends, I hope all of you had a wonderful 4th of July weekend. The Cooner Man certainly did. Honestly, got some much-needed rest, but let that go. Let me tell you what did not rest, and that was Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and the left-wing cultural revolution that now is marching on through city after city after city. The protesters, the radical left activists, did not take the 4th of July off. In fact, they redoubled and intensified their efforts. Now, I'm going to get into Trump's magnificent speech that he delivered at Mount Rushmore. To me, a fundamental game changer, potentially, if he follows up on it. So I'm definitely going to get into that. But my friends, I got to ask you, what is going on in the United States of America? So as all of us were celebrating the birthday, Independence Day, of the greatest country in the history of the world, the radical left, again, was on the move. And what we are now seeing is the rise of lawlessness, crime, anarchy, chaos, which is now engulfing city after city after city. For example, in Baltimore, a group of left-wing thugs, Black Lives Matter, Antifa supporters, went to the harbor in Baltimore and tore down, ripped down the statue of Christopher Columbus and threw the statue into the water, into the harbor, all of them like cultural barbarians, jumping up and down, cheering, high-fiving each other, jubilant over their victory, over, they say, of this monument of American Western imperialism and racism. But it wasn't just there. As Trump sought to deliver an address at Mount Rushmore, Black Lives Matter Antifa thugs showed up in South Dakota near the Black Hills. They punctured tires, vans, disabled vehicles, tried to use them to block the road to A, prevent the president from being able to get to Mount Rushmore, and moreover, trying to prevent supporters from getting to Mount Rushmore to listen to the speech. They ultimately failed. The police moved in, removed the cars, the vans, the vehicles, the barricades, but the left vowed to continue to shut Mount Rushmore down. In New York, New York is now descending into a hellhole. Not my words. This is now the conclusion of the New York Post, the New York Daily News, and much of the local media. Over the weekend, they experienced a massive surge in shootings over the last month under the leadership of Big Bird Bill de Blasio, with Black Lives Matter protesters demanding that they defund the police. Big Bird caved in. $1 billion was cut from the NYPD budget, $1 billion with a B. Their anti-crime unit, plainclothes undercover police officers, have been disbanded completely. It is now open season in New York. Burglaries have exploded over 100%. Car thefts, 48%. But much more ominously, shootings, murders are now through the roof. 250 shootings in the last week alone. They're dropping like flies in New York. In Brooklyn, men are being shot on the streets. In different parts of New York, including, by the way, Manhattan, shootings are taking place, lootings are taking place. Store owners say they don't know what to do. Roving bands of gangs of youths, I'm just now reading straight from the New York Post, are now using spray paint to disable cameras and then move in to rob, loot, and pillage store after store after store while the police are being told to hold back. They're being pulled back by Big Bird Bill de Blasio. Police morale is so low. Over 300 police officers have resigned or retired in the last week alone. That's in New York. In Chicago, as you and I were celebrating the 4th of July, many people eating hot dogs, burgers, having some apple pie, watching the fireworks, 67 shootings, 13 dead, including a young girl, a 7-year-old girl, was shot dead in front of her grandmother's house. Her crime, she was standing on the sidewalk, on the street, just off the street, trying to watch a 4th of July fireworks celebration. A 14-year-old boy shot dead. Black lives matter, do they? I guess not if you live in the south side of Chicago. In Philadelphia, in Memphis, in South Carolina, I could go on and on and on. I don't have the... I could do it for 4 hours. I don't have the time to get into each one. Shooting after shooting after shooting. And as all of this is taking place, don't think Boston is not immune. Over the last week, 7 fatal shootings, fatalities, dead in Boston. Over the weekend alone, in Roxbury, in Dorchester, in Mattapan, there were fatal shootings, senseless killings and stabbings, many of them occurring over the 4th of July weekend. Furthermore, 13 non-fatal shootings, 9 non-fatal stabbings. Commissioner William Gross now says there is a, quote, huge increase in crime in Boston. Even radical Rachel Rollins has now come out and said there's a, quote, uptick, her words, an uptick in crime. It's a hell of a lot more than an uptick. And it's 19-year-olds being killed, 17-year-olds being killed, 21-year-olds being killed. A 40-year-old man was just, his chest was almost blown apart by a shotgun in downtown Boston over the weekend. On Thursday, last week, there were 3 fatal shootings within an hour. Boom, boom, boom. The police have been told to pull back. Now, if you want to know what happens when you want to defund or abolish the police, as Black Lives Matter has been demanding, all you need to do is look at CHAZ or whatever, CHOP. They keep changing the name. It's now been dismantled. The Capitol Hill occupied protest zone in Seattle, where there were murders, rapes, shootings with impunity. You don't like the example of CHOP? Just now take New York City. It is now being brought to its knees. It is so bad. Huge story today. Over 500,000, 500,000 middle-class residents have now permanently fled New York, saying it is unlivable. No one can live there. The crime, the looting, the nonstop Black Lives Matter protests have made that city unbearable, too dangerous. And now they're leaving. They want to go to suburbs. They want to go to rural towns. But everyone is getting the hell out of Dodge, or in this case, getting the hell out of New York City. Everything that was done over the last 20 years, 30 years almost, under Giuliani and even Mikey Bloomberg, has now been undone by the moonbats and the left at City Hall, starting with Big Bird Bill de Blasio. And here in Boston, over the weekend, on 4th of July, in Nubian Square, Black Lives Matter protesters, including a splinter group called the Movement for Socialism and Liberation. So they want a kind of an African or third world style liberation, a Marxist revolution. They're naked. They're open about it. They protested there in Roxbury. They then got the local town to submit to painting a mural on the street saying Black Lives Matter. They marched from Nubian Square all the way to Boston Common, saying this is going to go on day after day after day. They will not stop until they get their demands. They want to defund and abolish the police. They now want to address quote unquote systemic racism. And they now want what they say is a socialist revolution. And they're going to take down every statue, every memorial, every monument, every symbol of the United States until they get what they want. Here is just a flavor, a taste of what they were doing on the 4th of July. Roll it, Brittany.
No peace. No peace. No peace.
No justice, no peace, no fascist police. No justice, no peace, no fascist police. That's what they kept chanting again and again, vowing a summer of rage. In Washington, D.C., Black Lives Matter and Antifa supporters on the 4th of July burned the American flag. Others walked, stomped on it, saying that this country is not worth celebrating, but instead they want to burn it all to the ground. My friends, we are now witnessing the rise of a far left fascism, a left-wing cultural revolution. But one man now stands in the way, and he's now announced his counter-revolution. /6:19 here on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's bulldozer. Okay, my friends, when historians look back at the Trump re-election campaign of 2020, they are going to look at what took place on Mount Rushmore over the 4th of July weekend as the fundamental turning point of his campaign. Prior to that, obviously, the polling numbers were not good. He was had not a very successful rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it seemed on many levels the president was besieged on all fronts. What he did in that speech was politically brilliant. It was magnificent. He finally took on the cancel culture, the revolutionary left, the media, the Democrats head on. And now emerged as the country's leading champion and proponent of law and order, but not just law and order. Essentially, he threw the gauntlet down when he said, this election boils down to two fundamental forces. One that believes in America, the other that wants to destroy America. It's really that simple. And Trump said that as long as he's president, he will defend America, our history, our heritage, our culture, our civilization from the moral, cultural, political barbarians who now want to destroy it and destroy everything that we've built. Listen now to the President of the United States, to me, in one of the greatest speeches of his entire presidency. It had everything. The president brought his A game. And he now has let the radical left, the woke Taliban, know this far and no further. Listen to the president saying the days of censorship, the days of bullying, the days of muzzling political opponents because you don't like their speech or what they say are now over. We are going to cancel the cancel culture. Roll cut five, Christian.
We want free and open debate, not speech codes and cancel culture. We embrace tolerance, not prejudice. We support the courageous men and women of law enforcement. We will never abolish our police or our great Second Amendment, which gives us the right to keep and bear arms.
It was electric. I'm telling you, it was absolutely electric. The speech from beginning to end was extremely well written. It was very powerful. It was merciless in a positive way in terms of its attack on the left-wing cultural radicalism and the rise of what President Trump called far-left fascism. It finally, as we now have a president who is standing up to the forces of destruction and anarchy. Listen now to him saying, it is time for our kids, especially high school kids, college kids, to know and understand the real history of the United States. It's time to stop the indoctrination and the anti-American brainwashing. Roll cut 6, Christian.
We believe that our children should be taught to love their country, honor their history, and respect our great American flag. We stand tall, we stand proud, and we only kneel to Almighty God.
You had me at hello. You had me at hello. And then this, there are so many great lines. I mean, I feel like I'm at a buffet. I don't know where to start. I really don't. But this is the one that I thought was very powerful, where he basically, not basically, where he said, the ultimate goal of Black Lives Matter, of Antifa, of the Democratic Party, of the radical left, the radical cultural left, that now wants to tear down every symbol, every statue, every monument, every aspect of American history and culture and civilization, is they want a second American revolution, a socialist revolution. Their ultimate goal is to overturn the American founding and the American Revolution, Independence Day, the 4th of July. They want to tear down and overturn the revolution, the American Revolution itself. Roll cut 7, Christian.
This is who we are. This is what we believe. And these are the values that will guide us as we strive to build an even better and greater future. Those who seek to erase our heritage want Americans to forget our pride and our great dignity, so that we can no longer understand ourselves or America's destiny. In toppling the heroes of 1776, they seek to dissolve the bonds of love and loyalty that we feel for our country and that we feel for each other. Their goal is not a better America. Their goal is to end America.
No truer words were spoken. No truer words were spoken. And I got to say, my friends, we're going to look back on history and we're going to have two conclusions. Either this was the speech that began to turn around the Trump reelection campaign and gave him the themes, not just of America First or even of American greatness, but of saving, preserving, and restoring America. Or we're going to look back and say that President Trump was a prophet who warned us. Because I'm telling you, if Biden wins in November, Mount Rushmore, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, every symbol and monument of America is going to come crashing down. Did you listen to the president's speech? And what's your reaction? Next.
No peace.
6:32 here on the great WRKO. Okay, my friends, it's now official. America is in a culture war. Nothing original on my part about this. Everyone's now acknowledging it. The radical left, in the wake of George Floyd's murder and killing by Derek Chauvin, which disgusted the entire country, myself included, has now been exploited and hijacked by Black Lives Matter, by Antifa, by the left, by the media, by the Democratic Party to launch a war upon America itself. Our history, our culture, our constitution, our traditions, our civilization, everything. As Joe Biden wrote in an op-ed piece for NBC News, Dementia Joe, he clearly didn't write it, but somebody wrote it for him, that he now says America's foundations, meaning our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, our founding, are, quote, rotten to the core, and that now his job as president will be to rebuild those foundations. In other words, he has now thrown in his lot decisively with Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and the radical left. Trump at Mount Rushmore now threw down the gauntlet and saying, you want a culture war? I'm going to give you a culture war. And he urged everyone in the country to stand up and rally around the country, the flag, Mount Rushmore, and of course, the very Constitution and the very men who created the greatest document of political liberty and human freedom on earth. Listen now to the President of the United States, to me, in one of his most important, consequential speeches, saying the left, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, have one political weapon. It is censorship. And they use it as a club in order to silence all opposition. Roll cut eight, Christian.
One of their political weapons is cancel culture, driving people from their jobs, shaming dissenters, and demanding total submission from anyone who disagrees. This is the very definition of totalitarianism. And it is completely alien to our culture and to our values. And it has absolutely no place in the United States of America.
Incredible. Incredible. Goosebumps. I had goosebumps when he said that. Goosebumps. I got goosebumps again just listening to it. By the way, can you see the influence of the show? I mean, I'm not trying to brag, but I'm just telling you the truth. How many themes that we discuss here on Cooner Country were seen in that speech. But, you know, but let that go. I have been waiting for a major American leader to call the left and liberals for what they are, totalitarians. Liberalism is now soft totalitarianism. Communism is hard totalitarianism. But it's nevertheless totalitarianism. They want to crush all dissent, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion. Anybody that disagrees with ideological orthodoxy, they want them fired from their jobs. They want them banished. They want them censored. They want them taken down from social media. They want them shamed. This is the ultimate goal of the left. And President Trump had the guts and the courage. And by the way, why is he the only one in the entire Republican Party who has the guts to say this? No one else is calling it like it is except for him. He is all out there alone. I know he's got a lot of supporters, obviously, but I'm talking about politically. Every other Republican is running to the hills or for cover in the face of this cultural revolutionary onslaught. Listen now to the president saying he will now expose this left-wing cultural revolution, this far-left fascism, for what it is. Roll cut nine, Christian.
This attack on our liberty, our magnificent liberty, must be stopped, and it will be stopped very quickly. We will expose this dangerous movement, protect our nation's children, end this radical assault, and preserve our beloved American way of life. In our schools, our newsrooms, even our corporate boardrooms, there is a new far-left fascism that demands absolute allegiance If you do not speak its language, perform its rituals, recite its mantras, and follow its commandments, then you will be censored, banished, blacklisted, persecuted, and punished. It's not going to happen to us.
I love you. It's about freaking time. Somebody said it outside of the Cooner Man. I love you. I love you. He's completely right. And look how courageously he stood up to them. Look with the boldness, the principle. Look how muscular it was. He didn't at all pull any punches. He didn't mince his words. He didn't use any kind. He didn't water it down or try to be diplomatic about it. He confronted and exposed what is really going on. A far left fascism. Notice it's in the schools. He's right. I would add academia and colleges, but I guess schools can, you know, mean everything, right? Not just elementary, middle, and high school, but universities and colleges. The schools, he's dead on. I would have added Hollywood, but that's okay. I'm nitpicking. The media, dead on. And corporations. The corporate boardrooms, big business, corporate America is now all in on this leftist cultural war. And they have taken their side against the American people. Now, listen to the president saying, if we don't stop them now, you think it ends with Columbus? You think it ends with the Confederate memorials? You think it even ends with Mount Rushmore? No, 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 no. Listen where it ends. Roll cut 10, Christian.
Make no mistake, this left-wing cultural revolution is designed to overthrow the American Revolution. In so doing, they would destroy the very civilization that rescued billions from poverty, disease, violence, and hunger, and that lifted humanity to new heights of achievement, discovery, and progress. To make this possible, they are determined to tear down every statue, symbol, and memory of our national heritage.
See that one person yell out, "Not on my watch," and the crowd starts going crazy. My friends, there are very few presidential speeches that I would ever say this about. The Gettysburg Address, I think Reagan's, one of Reagan's speeches. But anyway, I don't want to. This speech, and I'm choosing my words now very carefully, was so brilliantly written, was so powerful, was so penetrating, was so courageous, so defended America at a time when it now needs to be defended. This speech should be reprinted. I'm not kidding. The transcript should be given to every child in every elementary, middle, and high school for them to read. This should be mandatory reading. And not just on the on Washington and his defense of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln and Theodore Roosevelt that he defended on Mount Rushmore, but the entire speech, what the radical left is about, what their goals are about, who they are, what they are, the mortal threat they pose to America, and the sheer greatness and majesty of the United States. That he is right when he says America created a new civilization, or to be more specific, it was the culmination of thousands of years of Western civilization that took humanity to a different stage of development. He is 1,000% correct. This should be required reading by every school child in the United States of America. What President Trump did with that speech in Mount Rushmore is he has now met the cultural revolutionaries on the battlefield. It is a culture war. It is official. the left has been waging it. Trump now says he will meet them, fight them, and defeat them. Whose side are you on? .649 here on the great WRKO. Jeff Cooner, Boston's bulldozer. Okay, my friends, did you watch or listen to President Trump's address at Mount Rushmore? And what do you think of it? Is this now the definitive turning point for his reelection campaign? 617-266-6868. Are we in a culture war? And the president says we're going to win and the left is going to lose. Agree, disagree. Paul in Westwood. Thanks for holding, Paul, and welcome.
Good morning. Good to listen to you again. And Jeff, I'm on the same page with you on most things. Keep in mind, the president, I'm getting the impression from the president, he's all talk and no action. All this violence and all this crime in Chicago, this is all under his watch. And when he got elected 3.5 years ago, he said he was going to do something about the crime in Chicago. I voted for him last time, and I'll vote for him again. But I'll tell you, I'm getting to believe he's all talk and no action.
Well, Paul, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, Paul.
Speeches are wonderful, but every weekend these monuments and things are being damaged, and it's all under his watch.
Well, Paul, let me ask you this. What can he do in Chicago or in New York? You have the mayors that are turning a blind eye. You have they're cutting the police force, the police budgets. They don't want to crack down on Black Lives Matter. They don't want to crack down on these protests. They're appeasing the mob. The governors, both the Illinois governor, New York governor Cuomo, Democrats, they're appeasing the mob. There's only so much a president can do.
I realize he doesn't have the support of the Congress and a lot of these mayors, but he's delivering all of these very impressive speeches, but he can't seem to back up what he's saying. That's what I'm saying to you.
Well, Paul, look, there is one option, and he does threaten it. He doesn't want to go there, which is to send in the military. Now, he said that about New York City this weekend. Things in New York are really spiraling out of control. I mean, Paul, I got to tell you, the city is now on the verge of mob rule. That's not me saying it. That's the media in New York now saying it. So he's threatening to send in the troops. The problem, though, Paul, is, let's be honest, if he sends in the troops, I mean, all hell is going to break loose. The media is going to be yelling and screaming, dictatorship, we told you he's a dictator. It's going to really inflame the protesters and the thugs and the activists. So the president doesn't want to have a civil war on the streets. So he's trying to push them, coerce them, pressure them, persuade them. Would you like to see him call in the troops?
No, I know that that's only going to bring things to its peak. I understand that. And I understand he doesn't have any support from the Congress and a lot of mayors. But all these promises in the speeches, he can't deliver on what he's saying under the present leadership in the Congress and a lot of these mayors. And it just does not impress me too much when you say a lot like that and you can't deliver.
Interesting.
It sounds good. It sounds good, and I support him 100%. But
No, I hear you. I hear you. Paul, interesting call, really. Thank you very much for that call. 617-266-6868. That's why what I'm hoping is in 2020, not only is Trump reelected, but we give him a House and we give him a Senate that will finally work with him and frankly give him a crime bill that is now going to impose law and order. We don't need less police. We need more police. We don't need less enforcement. We need more enforcement. In other words, it's time to start building more prisons and throwing more criminals into jail. That's how you beat back this crime wave that is now sweeping city after city after city, by the way, including Boston. It's maybe not as bad, obviously, as New York or Chicago, but believe me, we're getting there. Slowly but surely, we're getting there. Jeff in Salem. Thanks for holding, Jeff, and welcome.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks. What we got to do is, for these protesters, everyone that's arrested, if they live in public housing or they're on any sort of welfare, that goes away. And if they don't, if they're not in any type of system, you go to the people they live with and take and find their parents, their landlords, and stuff like that. That way, it's going to come from the inside, and people on the inside are going to be telling them, "Stop it! We need to eat. This is they're ruining America. Why should America pay for their food?"
Oh, Jeff, I'm completely with you. I agree with you 1,000%. Jeff, I want to ask you something, and I want to ask all of you this question. I had a very interesting conversation with a couple of people this weekend. And let me tell you what they told me. These are people that follow politics. They follow it closely. They were not sure that Trump was going to win just a couple months ago. They looked at the poll numbers, the pandemic, the lockdowns, the economic crisis, the initial, you know, anger about George Floyd and the civil unrest. They said, I don't know. Now they're saying the exact opposite. And what's changed is that these protesters, this movement, is now so radical, so extreme, so fundamentally anti-American, un-American, in fact, hate America. That's what it is. It's a hate America movement that he says you have no idea how many people it's now turned off. The voters that Biden and Democrats need to get, independents, suburban women, swing voters, they want security. They want safety. They don't want this. And so ironically, the more the cities burn, the more it guarantees Trump's reelection in November. What do you think of that, Jeff?
He will prevail.
Oh, you think Trump is going to win in November?
Absolutely.
And is this helping him? In other words,
yes, it is. I know more people that are liberals, relatives of mine. They're saying, this is crazy. This isn't America. Look at that mayor, that politician who got attacked. He's a liberal. These people are like, okay, we're done. When it starts to move into towns like Topsfield and Boxford and stuff like that, you know that's going to be a huge win for him.
Interesting. Jeff, thank you very much for that call. CJ in Boston. Thanks for holding, CJ, and welcome.
You were correct the first time, Jeff. It's anti-American. There are Americans living in this country, and there are anti-Americans living in this country. But one of the previous callers, Paul, called, and he's absolutely right. They've been continually rioting in Portland, Oregon. For 30 days they've been rioting. Nothing has been done there. What I think the president needs to do, he needs to federalize the police and give them broad authority. That's what he needs to do. This is, 50 years ago today, I had three weeks left, still in a country 10,000 miles away from here. There were 525,000 sets of boots on the ground. And when the communists broke through the gates of the presidential palace, they didn't burn businesses. They didn't tear down statues. But now we have them here in America. That's what the president needs to do. More importantly now, this Black Lives Matter movement has the blessing of the NBA, the NFL, and other sports teams who are going to be using their logos and their T-shirts. What the president needs to do, he needs to put these groups, these violent groups, in the category of domestic terrorist groups. Contact the FCC, tell them you can't broadcast anything where athletes are wearing and condoning these domestic groups in this country. Jeff, just let me give them a statistic out there. There's roughly 330 million Americans in this country. There's 400 million legal guns. When they start firing, and I hope they never do, they are going to regret the day that they tore the first statue down in this country.
CJ, thank you very much for that call. 617-266-6868. Okay, I got a couple lines open if you want to jump on. Did you listen to the president's speech or see it? What did you think of it? And it's official now. We are in a culture war. President Trump says it's for the heart and soul of America. And he says we will not lose it. We must not lose it. Agree, disagree. I'm going to take more of your calls. I'm back in less than 60 seconds. Don't touch that dial.